As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work at those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. I want to talk a little bit, and we're just going to touch around the edges of what predestination really is. I'm going to make some references from Ephesians 1 here in a minute. But I want you to see that where we were considered, where God is concerned, we're going to do away with Calvinism in one death stroke. We're going to do away with men's thoughts on what predestination is in one death stroke from the Scripture tonight. One death stroke. But I'm not preaching to attack some thought form. It's just something that's going to be a byproduct of that. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. You were dead. You were dead. That's what God considered you. God did not consider you predestined. He considered you dead. You were by nature an object of wrath. All of us in Adam. All of us in Adam are considered by nature objects of wrath. That is our destiny apart from Christ. So what is predestiny? What was predestined? It tells us in chapter 1, Ephesians verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Now this is an important verse and we got to deal with it. Is there any way that we can construe this to mean that you as an individual were chosen in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless? Is there any way you can construe it to mean that? I want you to really think about it. Don't think about it. Don't agree with me just because I'm saying something. What do you think? What does the Scripture say here? What does the Spirit lead you to believe through the Scripture? It says, "Praise to be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Oh! This should shed the light on it right here. How did you get any spiritual blessings? How did you get ever any spiritual blessings? Amen, Nikki, and that's what we're getting at. See, before Christ blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, you had no spiritual blessings. But what is one of those blessings? We are joint heirs with Christ. Aren't we told that? Heirs and joint heirs with Christ? What is his heirship? Was his heirship predestined? Was his heirship predestined? Yeah, Jesus is the only one who was predestined. So if he has blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, that blessing of his predestination is transferred to you through him. So that you are chosen in him, in Christ, from the foundation of the world. But it's not just you alone. This is the path that God has chosen for men. that men were never just to be physical. This is what it's talking about. This is talking about what mankind's destiny is. Mankind's destiny apart from Christ is dust. From dust it came, to dust it shall return. But mankind's destiny through Christ is to become a spiritual man like Christ through his resurrection. So we, meaning men, were predestined to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted. See? Man was predestined to be adopted as his sons. Only till the one who came that had the promise, Christ. We could not be adopted of ourselves as individuals. We had to be adopted through the one individual, Christ. You don't adopt something you predestined of itself, do you? But he predestined us, men, to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption. You don't redeem what you predestined. If you predestined it, you wouldn't have to redeem it. It would be the way you wanted it. But we were redeemed from Adam into Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. It had to be made known to us. Revealed, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times have reached the fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything. So see, none of you, nobody in this room, was predestined of themselves apart from Christ. It was Christ who is predestined, and by being adopted into Christ, we find a share in that predestiny. It is through Christ we are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, and that predestination is one of those spiritual blessings. Can you understand that? So as for you, going back to chapter 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That was your destiny. You were considered dead by God. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Doesn't sound predestined to me, does it to you? Except to death. Objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We were made alive only through Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, you didn't earn it, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, not apart from Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is no predestination apart from Christ, except death. Now, when it says that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, And what is that speaking? Did that happen already? Are we already raised with Christ? And this is what trips people up. We are through faith. We have what we have, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. What is faith? It is, what does Hebrews 11:3 tell us? What is faith? The evidence of things that are not seen, the substance of things hoped for. So the things of your faith are not seen now, are they? You do not see yourself raised up with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly realms, do you? You do not have any, you know, your faith is the only substance of that hope that you will share in a resurrection like His and be truly raised in the body. The adoption of sons, Romans 8, is the redemption of the body. What we have by faith. We believe God. And it tells us that this Spirit is given to us as a guarantee, a token. A token of guarantee that He will complete what He began. So we don't see it yet, but this is where we are through faith. Seated already with Christ in the heavenly realms. For it is by grace we have been saved. This is what we believe. Isn't it? It's a matter of what you believe. It's a matter of who you believe. Do you believe God? Then that's where you're seated. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But notice how it phrases this. Being God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works. It's not just here, it's there too. The good works that we have to do are not just here on the earth. The things we do through faith. Because by faith we're sitting right now raised with Christ. But those good works are also good works we will do after the resurrection. That we were created to do. You have a purpose. You're not just going to be a wispy spirit up there hanging out. You're not just going to get an immortal body and then drive around through the neighborhood and tool it like you do a new car and show all your friends. There's things for you to do. There's a purpose in God for you, eternally. And you need to grasp onto that, because that is a great part of your hope in the resurrection, that you have purpose. Not just purpose here, but purpose eternally. See this, Simone? What we're addressing here about predestination has nothing to do with what God knew or what God didn't know, what God planned or what God didn't plan. This predestination has nothing to do with that. We are just focusing on what we know about predestination. What a man can know through Jesus Christ is all we can know. All we can know about our predestination is that Jesus is the one predestined and we are adopted into it. We are adopted into His. Because if we hadn't, we would perish. We're not talking about what God knows or doesn't know. You see that? We're talking about God's plan from the beginning has been always to reconcile all men through Christ. This is why Adam was only a figure of He who was to come. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles, and here we're going to get to some real sticky stuff. Remember that you formerly, who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now think of it. You who formerly were Gentiles, and that's most of us in this room, I imagine, by birth, and called, now this is according to the flesh, we were called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision. What is Paul trying to tell us by this? He didn't say we were uncircumcised by those we were the uncircumcised by those who were the circumcised. He says we were called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision. Ooh. This is the point. It was the pot calling the kettle black, because in truth, those who called themselves the circumcision were no more the circumcision than we were. Let me say that again. Those who called themselves the circumcision were no more the circumcision than we were. We were Gentiles, uncircumcised. We weren't Jews. We weren't the chosen people of God. That fact is apparent. But the Jews, see, they only looked at the outward. They couldn't see the inward. They only looked at the outward. And so circumcision was that done and by hands in the body of men. So through that, through the flesh, by saying literally through the flesh, I'm a child of Abraham, and have received this seal of circumcision, that it itself is a guarantee that you're okay with God and one of his chosen people. But no, that's not true. The real circumcision, we're told, Romans chapter 2, read it, is a circumcision of the heart. That's what makes you truly a Jew in God's eyes. That's what makes you truly somebody chosen of God. So though they called us the uncircumcision while calling themselves the circumcision, and they weren't, because the real circumcision is that of the heart. Not that done in the body by the hands of men. But remember that at that time, we were separate from Christ and excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise and without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two one. And it has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. I want you to see how all of this is predestination. From the Jews through the Gentiles, it was all predestination through Christ. Because God has determined it to be by the inside, by the Spirit, and not by the outside, the flesh, that he predestines things to be. Those who were born of the flesh will return to where they came, the dust. Fact of life. Dust returns to dust. The predestination is that dust, through Christ, through the man from heaven, should take on the Spirit. Should become eternal instead of just temporary. Can you see this? That's the predestination. And it doesn't occur through Adam. His predestination brings us all as vessels of wrath to death. The predestination occurs through Christ. By being adopted into Christ, we are brought into eternal life. And that's whether Jew or Gentile, because it's not according to the outside. It's not according to the flesh. If we live according to the flesh, whether Jew or Gentile, we will perish. Because it says those who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law. And those who are judged by the law and sin according to the law will perish by that judgment. So it doesn't matter whether you were Jew or Gentile, you were signed over to death. The flesh. Whether Jew or Gentile, you are the flesh. But what did Israel truly represent? That man could not please God on his own. The first fruits of those of the flesh, I want you to see this between Adam and Christ. It's so important. Adam was the first fruits of the flesh, the first one among us. But he wasn't born from the dead, was he? He died. From dust he came and to dust he returned. And everybody of Adam since then has been exactly the same way. So he's the first fruits of all of us. As Adam ended, we all end. As Adam was created from the dust of the ground, so we were created from the dust of the ground. As Adam returned to the dust of the ground, so would we. Except for one thing. Adam is a picture of one who is to come. Romans 5. Adam himself is a living testimony that there's one who's coming after him that's preferred before him. Adam was made of flesh, but this is the man from heaven. The first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. And as we have borne the image of Adam and perished, now we must bear the image of Christ and live forever. You see it? Through one sin, Adam brought everybody to death. In this backwards mirror, it's a picture of Jesus through one act of righteousness bringing us all to life. Jesus didn't come from below. John said this as a testimony himself in the flesh. I'm from below and I'll return for I come from, dust to dust. But the one who is from above is over all, and he'll return where he came from. Jesus said, you don't know where I've come from, you don't know where I'm going. He came from the Father and he returned to the Father. The predestination was always through Christ for the eternal. So through the Jews, we see them as the first fruits representative of Adam. That man in the flesh cannot please God. And so we see them rejected. We see the church as the first fruits of those born of the Spirit, as Jesus was the firstborn from among the dead. For the whole earth, the church is the picture of that. As Israel was the picture of all men cannot please God and therefore perish, so the church is the picture of all those who are spiritual that do please God through Christ. The first fruits of the harvest always show what the harvest is going to be. If the first fruits are good, the harvest is good. Israel, the first fruits were bad, and it showed that the whole harvest was bad. Why Jesus had to come. Jesus, the first fruit, showed that the harvest is good, and so the whole harvest will be good. We as the church of Christ, are his body. We are the first fruits of all mankind. And if we're good, then the whole lump will be good, the whole harvest. One is a picture of the other and a prophecy of the other. The first fruits is a prophecy of the whole harvest. So Jesus was of us and we are of the whole body. Can you see this? So I want you to see that when it says, when it's talking about Jew and Gentile, that Jew and Gentiles are figures. Listen to what it said about the Jews. Remember that at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship of Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near. You who were far away have been brought near. And he goes on to say that, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, Jew and Gentile, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Now, I want you to think about this. First of all, who were those that were near? Somebody tell me. Who were those that were near? When it speaks of those who were far away and those who were near, who was near? The Jews were near. Amen, Nikki. Who was the ones far away? We're going to see a comparison here that's real important. Who were the ones far away? Greeks or the Gentiles. Amen. So the Gentiles were far away and the Jews were near. The Jews were considered near because they had the words of God, the law. The Gentiles were considered far away because they neither knew God or had God or hope or promise in the world. Now, I want you to see this real important point. I want to show you why Gentiles is a picture of the heart of man and why Jews were the picture of the flesh. I want to show you this. What does the law judge, Nikki? Spirit or flesh? What is the law as it was given to the Jews? What does it judge, spirit or flesh? It judges flesh. How are the Gentiles joined now to Israel? By the flesh or through the spirit? Okay. So now you can see if Gentiles are joined through the spirit and the Jews obeyed God by the flesh, we can see the picture of the flesh is the body, the Jews. The Gentiles are a picture of the heart of man, unregenerate as it is. What does it say about the heart of man, Nikki? Doesn't it say it's deceitful above all things? Who can know it? Doesn't it say that about the heart of man? It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Well, unregenerate Gentiles are a picture of the heart of man, corrupted. The Jews are a picture of the flesh. Now, the body, the flesh, tried a righteousness that was only by the outside. But you see, the spirit is what had to be made right, because the body could not follow. Didn't the Jews prove that flesh of itself cannot do right? By blowing it with the law, didn't they show that flesh by itself cannot do right? So they had a cleansing according to the outside. They had great swelling words about righteousness, but inside, were they righteous? What did Jesus say about them? The outside you look real pretty, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Now I want you to see it. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here comes that understanding. Here it comes, right here. Your lips are far from me. I mean, your lips praise me, but your hearts are far from me. You praise me with your lips. Isn't that what he said to Israel? You praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Lips is on the outside. Heart is on the inside. The heart of man was far away from God. We praised him on the outside with our lips, with our great swelling words about the law and about love, with our great flowing robes of pharisaical righteousness. We looked holy. They marked their faces up to look like they were fasting. They announced trumpets when they gave alms. They made sure everybody sure they looked holy. With their lips, they praised God. But were their hearts ever near him, Nikki? Inside, they were corrupt, weren't they? Even as Jesus said they were. Now apply this to Jew and Gentile. The outside praised them with their lips, and the insides were the Gentiles were far from them. But God has come to reconcile those who were near and those who were far away. But the hearts that are far away are spirits, and our bodies, those that are near, under the law, what you can see. There's what you can see and what you can't see. That which is near and that which is far away. And this is why Jew and Gentiles are a picture of body and spirit. And they must become one. God makes one new man out of the two. Through the resurrection of the dead, the body is renewed and joined to the spirit. This is what Jesus dying and raised in the same body means. By the spirit, he went and preached in that dark place those 3 days. And then he come up alive on the other side. 3 days. There's a reason for all of that. All of this has meaning. Those who are near and those who are far away. Those who are alive and those who are dead. So when God says he wants to make one new man, Jew and Gentile, he's saying he wants to make one new man, body and spirit. Amen? Can you see that? This is the destiny we see in Christ through his death and his resurrection. This is the predestiny we must follow. And the path takes us straight through death to the flesh and alive to the spirit, and then our bodies rejoined at the end. Amen? So when it says those who are near and those who are far away, it's the same as saying you praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Because the heart of man was far from God. This was demonstrated in the Gentiles. And the flesh who claimed it was near, the Jews, didn't do it according to the inside, just the outside.
It's a good place to stop. But you see the predestination we have only through Christ and how all these things are a picture of that? Amen? Can you see it?